One of the most exciting developments for me in the current digital age is the ability to track your package. You know, you ordered it and then you can check to see where it is. You can see when it's going to arrive. It's so exciting until it infuriates you as it's in transit. Let's talk about it on the Corner of Truth and Life now. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and I love tracking packages. When I order something, you can get your little tracking number, and I always get disappointed now when you can't do that because I'm impatient. I want to know when it's going to come, and so I'm looking to see where it is, and so I like that. But then it is, I don't know about you, and maybe you know you're just like, I don't worry about that. But if you're like me and you like to look at this stuff, then what's really frustrating is when it just kind of sits in transit and they don't have any updated tracking information. Or you see it arrived in a facility and then it seems like it just sits there for a while and you're like, come on, what's the holdup? Why is it taking so long? Let's keep it moving here. And sometimes it just seems like they just hold on to it. And then other times it surprises you how quickly it moves. So it's just, and I'm sure it's just, you know, function of, you know, a human system doing human things. And sometimes things just take a while. But it's I enjoy tracking it. And, you know, on a separate thing, when I go to the Dominican Republic, my family likes to track my flight. And they go to the flight tracker and they can see when I take off and when I'm in the air and then when I land, oh, he's on the ground now, and they enjoy that. It's just fun to kind of mark the arrival. Now, once I'm on the ground and have to come home, now they don't have tracking because my car doesn't report that. But there are, I guess, apps now that can track that sort of thing. If you have either it on your cell phone or if you have one of those cars that keeps tabs on you. I don't have an old car, but either way, it's kind of a double-edged sword, and it can be exciting, and it can also be frustrating when something doesn't come when it's supposed to. I remember one time I ordered a book, and it still hasn't come. It's been like 2 years. I got refund, and it's never going to come. But it was annoying to see, oh, it's about to be shipped, it's about to be shipped, it's about to be shipped. It was never shipped, and therefore it never came. And eventually Amazon said, obviously they're not going to ship this. It was a third-party seller. So here's your money back. And I appreciated that. Amazon handled it really well. And I got my money back. But that's annoying. And so that got me in mind of thinking about just life and progress and God. And where does that go? One of the ways that when it comes to like our dealing with God, if you think about God or think about dealing with God, is we oftentimes, a lot of people think that religion is like some sort of self-help, self-improvement thing where it makes me a better person. And to be fair, religion in general can have a good effect for you. And if that's all you're looking for, then religion can do that in that it, you know, it gives you something to aspire to, and it gives you something to inspire you. So you can aspire and inspire and, you know, try to be a better person. Gives you a set of ethics with a little bit of supernatural charge to them or whatever. But generally, if you look at, like, the ideal, and especially if you read the Bible and look what it talks about, the ideal is really, really hard. In fact, it is so hard that it is actually impossible humanly. And, I mean, if you just want to start with the Ten Commandments, that's hard enough. But if all we had was the Ten Commandments, you'd mostly probably be okay, most people, with some exceptions. You know, the first four might be a little tough, as far as loving the Lord your God, but most people feel they can pull that off. Number two, it depends on how you define idols. You know, you say, well, I don't have any, like, little figurines I worship at home. Well, then you're probably okay if idols are a bigger thing. Well, but we'll give ourselves two. Number three, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Again, depending on if that just means not using the word God or Jesus or whatever in a bad way, then easier. If it has something greater, then that might be more hard. But we'll give ourselves three, too, just for fun. Number four, the Sabbath. That one can be tough, but hey, if you don't have to work on Sunday, then hey, just football and or Netflix and chill, and you're good. All right, so number four. Number five, honor your father and mother. Well, once we're adults, that's easier, and just, you know, send some cards or be nice. Okay, so number five. Number six, don't kill. Boom, got that one. Great. Number seven, do not commit adultery. All right. If you are married and you're not cheating, then you can say, okay, I got that one. Number eight, don't steal. Again, depends on how broadly we interpret that. If you don't, I guess you shouldn't cheat on your taxes and you don't try to shortchange someone. But generally, we probably give ourselves eight. Number nine, don't lie. That one, as far as, that's a pretty blanket statement. Most of us maybe don't tell whoppers, but the little white ones, that might trip us up. But we can give ourselves sort of a pass that we basically are truthful people. And number 10, don't covet. That's probably the one that is most likely to trip us if we've given ourselves passes on the rest, because all we have to do is, you know, when the new whatever comes out, we just think, oh, I want that. We say, well, but it says don't covet your neighbors. All right, so I don't covet my neighbors. I just want one from the store, and I'll buy it. So that's not okay. So maybe I can give myself a pass there. But we've already had to give ourselves some passes. But then Jesus comes along, and he goes through, and he takes those same things and says, now you have heard it said. And he expands on them and makes them, oh, way harder. Like he says, well, you know, you've heard, do not murder. He says, but I tell you, if you hate someone else, you've murdered them in your heart. And it says, well, you've heard, do not commit adultery, but if you've looked at a woman and lusted after her, if you've looked at her and, you know, entertained the thought, you're already guilty. Whoa. Well, now we're dead in the water, probably. We are probably dead in the water. Just on those two. Wow, so it's tough to get it right. So if this was supposed to be self-improvement, it can make me better, but it can't make me good in terms of the ideal. And so then, if that's what we think the goal is, and if you think your acceptance by God depends on you getting all this stuff right, and if you take it seriously, you're going to at some point kind of burn out. Because you're going to say, well, if that's what God expects the impossible. I know I should, but I can't. Well, and what's interesting is in the second half of Romans chapter 7, the second half of that chapter, Paul talks about that. And he talks about his frustration of trying to do the right thing and finding that even when he wants to do the right thing, he doesn't always do it. And even though he wants to avoid doing the wrong thing, sometimes he does. And he talks about this frustration and seemingly being checkmated by the fact that even when he wants to do the right thing and wants to avoid doing the wrong thing, sometimes he just doesn't. And he says, he calls himself at that point a wretched man. He goes, because I seem to be trapped here. I seem to be trapped in this wanting to do the right thing and not being able to, and wanting to avoid the wrong thing and not being able to. And so then, as chapter 7 ends in chapter 8, and of course, when Paul was writing, he wasn't writing in chapters. So if you didn't know that, when you read your Bible, the chapters were added later just to help you find stuff. And sometimes we stop when we get to the end of a chapter, and we shouldn't, because Paul's still writing, and the chapter sometimes comes in the middle of a thought. And the second half of chapter 7 doesn't stop at the end of chapter 7. It keeps going, because as chapter 7, he's turning the page from trying to be good. And he asks the question, well, who's going to set me free from being trapped like this? And he goes, well, Jesus is going to. And then he begins to, what does that look like in chapter 8, verse 1? He says, therefore, there's no condemnation, there's no judgment if you're in Christ and walking by the Spirit instead of the flesh. Instead of trying to be good, instead you give yourself to the Spirit. What does that mean? That sounds kind of, now we're getting into that religious talk again, right? And that's, whoa. But what it means is we change our focus. Walking by the Spirit instead of walking by the flesh means a different whole approach to how we live. When you walk by the flesh, it means you focus on the external. So I try to be good. But when I focus on the Spirit, I stop focusing on what I've done and focus on what He did, which in this case would be the fact that He loved me, that He died for me, that He gave His life for me and reached out to me, and then accepted me. And I focus on that, and He gave me grace, which means He gave me good things I didn't deserve. And He gave me mercy, which means He withheld the bad things that I did earn. So you notice when we talk about grace and mercy, the assumption is you didn't deserve good and you do deserve punishment. And God says, let's not do it that way. I will give you the good things that you didn't earn, and I will withhold the bad things that you did earn, the punishment. And so now I focus on that, which is obviously, since I didn't earn the right things, I'm focusing on a gift I got, not the good I did or the good I tried to do and failed. And this frees me up from that feeling of being trapped, of not being good enough, of trying to live up to something that I can't live up to. And so now, what is my motivation to try to be good? No, my motivation is to live as a recipient of good things that were given to me. Now, the interesting thing is when you are living as a recipient of good things, it changes you, especially if your focus is on God and Him giving you good things through Jesus Christ, if your focus is on Jesus, that He gave up His life for you. And so then that changes your mindset. And the first half of chapter 8 talks about, where is your mind set? Is it set on things down here or on what God did? When I focus on trying to do good, after a while, my mindset gets frustrated. My mindset gets tired. And if I'm trying to do good for bad people or people who are ungrateful, my mindset gets resentful and jealous. But if my mindset is on the one who I can never outgive because He gave more than I'll ever give, then that changes my mindset. And it means that I am less apt to suffer what I call cirrhosis of the giver, which means that I'm sick and tired of giving. I'm sick and tired of putting out and being generous in my attitude, in my forgiveness, in my love. Because people are ungrateful. And if we feel that I'm trying to measure up and you're constantly failing, then you're like that package that is always in transit but never arrives. I'm never going to arrive at perfection while I'm here on this planet. I'm incapable of perfection. But perfection is not demanded of me. I need to understand that I am in transit, and it's not my job to move myself forward. It's my job to focus on God, to focus on how much He loves me and that He died for me. And when I focus on that, it changes my attitude. And then, you know what? I actually move forward much faster. I still don't achieve perfection, but now instead of putting forth great effort to move forward, I am moved forward by an outward focus. Think about that today. If you're frustrated, maybe it's time to change how you're transiting. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.